Today's podcast is sponsored by Youth Ministry Booster, an online youth ministry resource network that for $25 a month provides all the graphics, games, visuals, resources, and community support that you need to enhance your large group gatherings. Boost your youth ministry at www.youthministrybooster.com. Get everything you need to make your next teaching series great. Visit www.youthministrybooster.com and get boosted today.
You're listening to When You Gonna Be a Real Pastor, a podcast that focuses on youth ministry at all levels. The official podcast of Alliance Youth. With Zach Hummer.
So listen, I wasn't trying to be a cynical jerk. I was just trying to promote fruitful, spiritual conversations.
And Ryan Baker.
You got to hand out two books to every student in your youth ministry. Number one, Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, and number two, The Shack.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 20 of When You're Going to Be a Real Pastor, a podcast focused on youth ministry at all levels. My name is Zach Hummer, and I am joined, as always, by my great friend, Bumblebee Scratch and Sniff. How you doing? How you doing, Bumblebee?
Where did you come up with that one?
All right, so I found this thing online. Actually, I shouldn't say I found it. The keyboard player in our worship band a couple of weeks ago sent this to me, and I remembered it by divine... God smiled upon me this morning, and I remembered it. It's a Benedict Cumberbatch name generator. So it's like a Tumblr. You type this into Google, you'll find it. You just hit a button and it generated for me Bumblebee Scratch and Sniff.
So you put my name in there and that's what it comes out with?
No, oh. You just hit a button and boom. And so I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly who I'm recording with today.
Well, I gladly receive that.
Reverend Ryan Baker is here with me today as always.
Hey Zach, we've got a guest. Why don't you introduce our guest? I know. This is so exciting.
This is so good. So we are joined today by Charlie Condor. Charlie, how are you today?
I'm great. How are y'all?
I'm so good. We're going to be talking about middle school ministry today. And I personally love being, you know, working with middle schoolers. It's a really good time. So I'm excited to have this conversation later. But I'd love to know, Charlie, and I think all of our listeners would as well, give us a little bit of info about you and what you do and who you are. And I don't know, we've had a fun time already before we started recording. So just give them a little taste of who you are.
Yeah, I'm Charlie Condor. I live in or near Atlanta, Georgia on the Burbs. And nice. I love middle school ministry. I've been doing middle school ministry at the same church for 11 years. I've recently just took a new position. It's extremely hard to be new in a new church after 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Tough stuff right
That's
there.
Intense.
But, you know, my whole adult life has been loving middle schoolers. I taught deaf and hard of hearing middle schoolers in Illinois before I moved to Georgia. So, yeah, I have an awesome husband and a really snarky 18-year-old daughter who I'm supposed to love, but I really hardly like anymore. So, yeah. Senior year is hard, folks. Senior year is hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. Does she deserve a beat down this morning already?
I mean, I didn't even see her this morning, but, you know, and, you know, I think God is just preparing me for her to leave. She's my, she is my only child, and I feel like this is the Band-Aid that he's given me. So it's good.
Oh, how funny.
I'm not looking forward to this. I have three little girls, Charlie. They're all under five. And man, I'm not looking forward to the teen years.
We're in high drama for prom right now. And then, So anyway.
That'll do it. Now they do the promposal down there?
Oh, yes. We went through all that last year. This year, she's like, I don't want to mess with a date. I don't want to have to entertain no boy. So she's going with a bunch of friends. So it's much better.
Oh, I love it. That's so funny. Where's she going to school?
She got early acceptance to Georgia State. She wanted to go to college in New York, and we said no, because Georgia has this great program that if your GPA is a certain level, they pay for your college. So
that's
why
amazing.
Would you not go to college in Georgia?
Well, New York City is delightful if you visit.
It is. It is delightful. But I don't want her living there. My only kid. Oh, my gosh. Heck no.
Oh, you're all freaked out. So, yeah, Charlie, we're really glad to have you on. We were trying to – there's a couple of episodes that we really want to do over the next few weeks, and one of them was middle school ministry, so we're super glad to have you on here. We called our friend, I think our mutual friend, Dan Boll, and we were like, listen, we want to talk middle school. Who do we get on the show? And he was like, Charlie Condor, you need to get her on.
Boom.
So I'm pumped. There's a high expectation. I hope you can meet it.
Me too. Like, the pressure's on right now. Okay.
No, it's going to be so much fun. So what we normally do in our beginning section here, Charlie, is we just kind of talk about our weeks. We talk about some things that have kind of come up in our ministries. And so I'm going to let Ryan start, and then you can think about maybe what's going on with you, and then maybe share with our listeners what's happening.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, I'm in. Ryan, what's going on, man? How you been? You look sleepy.
I didn't shower yet today. Our elder meetings start at 5:30 a.m. now on Tuesday mornings.
Ew.
And I have the intention. I wake up with the intention to shower, but that doesn't. That doesn't always happen. So, and I was going to go home after the other meeting, but this sucker was 2 hours and 45 minutes long. So I didn't get a chance. I had to go right into podcast mode. But let me say this. Youth worker.
Lay it on me.
I have the privilege of serving also as an elder at our church. Do me a favor, youth worker. Pray for your elders. Pray for them. They are doing the Lord's work. They are praying. These men, or depending on your denomination, these men and women are on their they're on their hands and knees. They're going before the Lord for you. They care deeply about the church, and their work is difficult. And so,
they deal with some of the most difficult
stuff. So it was a long, difficult meeting at some points, but just amazing kingdom work. So please say a big, we expect thank yous. Well, not expect thank yous. Well, we love thank yous, right? You should expect thank yous. No,
I expect.
You love when somebody comes up to you and says, thank you for all that you do. Go up to your elders and thank them for the spiritual work that they do in the life of the church. So, yeah. So anyways, that was just this morning. But I will tell you this. This is so cool. This was the first time in our church. And I've been going here for 17 years. I've been a youth pastor here for 17 years. And the first time that I did not attend the winter retreat. Obviously, I mean, so we have now a new middle school pastor, and you've heard me mention her on the show before, Jocelyn Brown. She rocks. She's amazing, and
she's better than you.
She's better than me, and
she's better than you.
She, I said, so you're going to need me on the winter retreat, right? She goes, nope, I'm all set. You're kicked out. Bye. It was awesome, and an awesome team she had. And so I am dropping off my two boys, and I'm looking at a situation going, I'm literally going to walk out of this building, and I'm not going to be getting into a 15-passenger van and heading up to New Hampshire right now. This is so weird. But let me say this. So when they came back, it was so awesome to hear my kids' perspective, from just hearing it as a parent, not because I've experienced those things year after year after year after year. I know the excitement. I know the awesomeness of these things, and I know them from the perspective of a youth pastor. But they come in and they're just like, we did this and we did that, and this kid came to know the Lord, and this was fun, and the music was great, and this was gross, and this kid said this, and this kid farted here, and I forgot my underwear, and so I, and it was just so fun to kind of be on that side of things. So a big, huge, awesome thank you to the leadership, to our middle school leadership team, who one of them happened to be an elder, and he shared about that this morning, and he was just on cloud nine. So so cool. So Jocelyn, I know you'll be listening. You've been looking forward to this episode with Charlie. Thank you for being an awesome middle school youth pastor. You you rocked it this weekend. And so just so cool. So cool.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie, now you know the flow. Do you want to give us a little rundown on your week, how things have been going in your ministry?
Things are crazy for me. I started this new job at an awesome church. And cool. Like I said, it's really hard to be new after 11 years at the same church. And my senior high pastor has quit.
Zach, you might know a little something about this.
It's like getting your knees like cut off underneath you.
Yes.
Cancel the show notes. We have a new show.
Yeah, we gotta go.
We got
It's rough. So anyway, yeah.
Now did they just like say like, hey, now you gotta do it, or
we're gonna be hiring. And so if anyone out there listening is looking for a job, contact Charlie Condor, because I need an awesome high school pastor.
Yes. I love it. This is their first pitch for a job. Actually, it's not true. I've not had a senior pastor at my church for a while. So pretty much every week I ask people to apply.
That's good. I want to know what the senior pastor lineup would be from someone that you found via podcast. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great.
Interesting.
Wow. All right. So that's pretty intense. Well, we can definitely be praying for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pray for Charlie and her church as they look for a senior high pastor. That's intense.
It's good stuff, though.
Yeah. You know? So for me, I kind of along these same lines, I got to experience something that I thought would never come, my friends. And that is a candidating weekend for the senior pastor at my church. We actually had a candidate after 3 years come and preach. And he did like a Q&A with his wife. He came over and played board games. We played a game called Secret Hitler, Ryan.
I know you've told me about
Secret
this
Hitler
game.
Is an amazing game, by the way.
I love games. I'm writing this down.
Write it down. So basically, it's pre-Nazi Germany, and there's people, the good guys are the Liberal Party, and the bad guys are the fascists, and there's a secret Hitler, and he doesn't know who the other fascists are, but the fascists know who he is, and so it's like a secret identity game, and you're passing policies, and you're trying to get enough liberal policies passed so that the fascists don't take over the country of Germany, and it is awesome, because you just start out in the beginning and immediately accuse all your friends of being Hitler. One of my closest friends got it for me for my birthday, and it's pretty awesome. It's really a lot of fun. So they came over, we got to meet them. It was awesome. I got to accuse him of being Hitler, which is something you don't normally get to do of a senior pastor candidate. So I definitely called him a fascist a few times, and that was great. I turned 29 years old, guys. I'm 29.
Congratulations.
It happened on Saturday. Does that mean I'm old, Ryan?
No.
Can I be old now?
Nope, never
nope.
old.
Okay.
Not old.
So, not old yet. Doing my thing. It was very exciting. But what I want to say is that if you haven't checked out The Lent Project by Biola University, I want you guys to do yourself a favor, even if you're part of a denomination that doesn't normally celebrate Lent, or maybe you've been burned by the Catholic Church or something like that. I don't know. There's a lot of mixed reviews on Lent, especially in our denomination, Ryan. I feel like a lot of my young adults were like, you do Lent? And I was like, yeah, man, check it out. This is really a good, there's a lot of great tradition here. There's a lot of great things about it.
You
kind of slowing down your life.
Wait, you and, take the time to do some self-denial?
Some self-denial. No, but not even just that. But
no,
like,
I know the
just
whole.
Just taking a couple of minutes a day to reflect on the sacrifice of Christ. It's a valuable tradition and a valuable practice, which I enjoy observing each year. I've tried to put a big emphasis, and many of you who've followed the show for a while, on the church calendar and some of these things that our denomination doesn't normally do, but is real. They're just, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know what I'm saying? So take a look at the Biola University Lent Project. They take great poetry and great artwork and great music, and they combine it with really solid devotionals and scripture readings. And you put all those things together, and it's just a really meaningful experience. Each morning, you know, I cue these up, and I'm able to just focus on what Christ has done and prepare myself for Holy Week and Easter. And it's been a really valuable thing. But I'll end on a little bit of a funny note in that on Ash Wednesday last week, somewhere in my town, they were doing drive-through ashes so that you can, like, pull up, get some ashes, and then just leave, which, if you think about it, is like the opposite of what Lent is supposed to be about. It's like, let's take some time to reflect on Christ. No, let's hit the Ash Wednesday drive-through, get some ashes so that people think we're spiritual.
Okay, but what about going out for some Christian chicken at the Chick-fil-A and getting your ashes at the same time on?
Were they doing that too?
Yeah. I know some Methodist pastors who were working the Christian chicken and handing out.
It's awesome.
Wow. Oh, man.
They should use like burnt chicken ashes. You know, so it's got like a, it's got that fried chicken smell.
Oh, my
to it.
Gosh. That is so funny.
That might be an only in the South kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
maybe.
Right.
Oh. I don't know. You know, we don't have many Chick-fil-A's up here. We have to drive a while to get to one.
I got one 40 minutes from me, and I still don't go. 40 minutes is like a long way.
We stopped at one. Ryan and I went to a, what was that? It was pastoral care to people who struggle with gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
And, man, that was a good seminar. It was long. I realized that I'm still a child because I can't sit through things that are really, really long. But we stopped for Chick-fil-A after, and it was pretty sweet. So that was not needed. I didn't need to add that to the podcast, but that was for free.
Listen,
everyone.
Christian chicken is always important.
It's always important.
Always.
Let's go to trending. Let's talk about what's going on this week.
This trending segment is sponsored by Next Ministry Conference. Next is an innovative and affordable one-day training experience organized by Alliance Youth in Crown College to equip those who equip next-gen followers of Jesus. March 4th at Crown College in the Twin Cities and March 18th at Westgate Chapel, Toledo, Ohio. For more information, go to AllianceYouth.com or find them on Facebook.
So on the trending here, Zach, you probably want to talk about Snapchat again.
I love Snapchat, Ryan.
Yeah,
and
I know.
You can't convince me that it's bad. It's not
Let's
evil.
Just hurry up and get this over with.
I'm with you. I love Snapchat.
Oh,
yes!
I'm leaving.
It is my favorite.
Yes, Ryan. Oh,
peace
it's
out.
The greatest. So much. It's made for youth ministry. Come on. It's not. It was made for nudie pics. And now it's better, though. It's better.
I have a teenage daughter. It is the best way for me to communicate with her. And as a parent, a little bit of a helicopter parent, I get to check in on everything she's doing.
That's right. I get to do the same thing. My kids are too young to have any technology, but I get to do the same thing for my youth. Like, I'll go on. I'll be like, wow, you really put that on there? That is not good. Let's talk about
Let's
this
talk
real
about
quick.
This.
Please wear clothing. Thank you. Right? Like, it's just hilarious. Snapchat. So Snapchat went public, which means that you can now buy Snapchat stock. And millennials all over the world flocked to the stock market to purchase some Snapchat stock. I confess, I thought about it. I didn't do it mainly because I'm poor. But it is pretty interesting. They went from being $24 a share up to $28 a share, and now they're back down to $25. So I am really interested in seeing where this goes. If you have some money that you'd like to put into the stock market, maybe Snapchat's the way to go. I have no idea. Don't take your stock advice from me. I just thought it was interesting. but that's all I have to say about Snapchat, Ryan.
All right.
That's it.
What's your very good? What's your second? You had another article or thing that you wanted to talk about. What was it?
It's about internet trolls. Because I feel like,
aren't we all internet trolls at some point?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. See, so this article is pretty cool. It was the Wall Street Journal, but it was based around a, like a, a study done by Stanford, I believe, University. I'll post the article up there so you guys can read through it. It's actually pretty long. And I think because it's Wall Street Journal, you can't actually read the whole thing unless you're on Apple News. It's so weird. I had Apple News open and I was able to read it. But then when I went on Safari, it wasn't working. So if you can't see it, that's my bad. I'll try to find a full version of that for the show notes. But basically, the study that they did said that most internet trolls are just normal people who are who are in a really bad mood. I love this. They're like, yeah, it's just regular people who normally don't explode on the internet, but they're just in a bad mood, and so they say something mean. And usually, they took a look at 16, I think it was 16 million different comments on CNN. And they went through all of these different comments over a course of multiple, you know, years. And they said, okay, the trend is that nasty comments and trollish comments happen more so at night and more so in the beginning of the week, like on a Monday or a Tuesday, because people are in worse moods because they had to go back to work. And I thought it was really funny. And then it said that people are more likely to join in on trolling. So if there's a lot of people saying nasty things, normal people will be on the internet and they'll see it and they'll be like, yeah, I'm going to add my own nasty thing into the mess of nastiness. And so I wanted to bring it up because it's funny to me that we are, it's all crowd mentality. It's all about how we feel, and it's like a gut reaction. So as youth leaders, we really need to be careful that we don't get sucked into this madness of internet trolling. And things like Facebook and maybe Instagram, maybe the two of them together, but they have really good filters on internet trolling. So like they have an algorithm that will root out some of this nasty language. But the only true platform that doesn't really have a good algorithm is Twitter. And so on Twitter, you really see some of the most nasty stuff. So if you're on Twitter, just keep an eye out and don't tweet things. You only have 140 characters. Say something nice, okay? That's all I'm saying. Say something life-giving and affirming to someone. But that's all I got, Ryan. What do you got?
Cool. Nice. Hey, other than the fact that I've been using my wife's deodorant for the past week and I absolutely love it, I could tell you. So apparently,
a great segue.
You know,
hey man, strong enough for a man, made for a woman.
And so sorry, honey, but I haven't bought my own deodorant yet. I just keep using yours.
Does she know? Is this where
I did? I confessed it on Facebook actually, and it blew up. The comments were unbelievable. And
it should make your skin nicer too.
What?
A women's deodorant is good for your skin.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I'm sold. And as long as I take off the little armpit hairs, I think we're good. I think Sherry and I are just, I think we're going to be all right. So other than that, apparently, LeFou from Beauty and the Beast is gay, but did we ever have any doubts?
We did not. He's been gay since they were cartoon characters.
I kind of saw it.
You saw it coming.
I did. We all saw it coming. But yeah, this is trending. It's another reason for Christians to expect that everybody's supposed to be Christian and have Christian values. And
dude, I like the turn to cynicism.
Did you like that?
You're supposed to be the voice of.
I know.
I'm the guy who's supposed to say offensive things. I can't wait to edit this. next up, it's our podcast on the chopping block.
Yeah, yeah.
He uses women's deodorant. Ryan, when they start making us do this podcast live, we are in so much trouble.
So where were we? So Disney is Disney's doing what Disney's doing, and Disney is going to make movies that their audience likes. Period. And do we expect Disney to do anything different? But there's been people that have been very offended or upset, and they're going to boycott, and they're going to sign petitions, and that only lasts so long because eventually everybody just forgets what they boycott, and they go back to watching Disney movies and going to Disney World and all that kind of stuff. So I've been in the Christian community for a long time, and there's always been some reason to boycott something and sign petition for something. And it's just, it's interesting. But
so, I just want to be clear. Everyone's up in arms over the gay French candlestick.
No, no. He's Gaston's little friend.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, wait. So now you're saying that the candlestick is gay, too.
I thought the candlestick was gay. Maybe he's just
the
French.
Candlestick and the clock. They got a thing going on.
Oh, my gosh.
We're getting thrown out. All of evangelical culture just threw us to the curb. No, so LeHugh is Gaston's little lackey. And, like, he is the little, you know, he's always walking around. He's super awkward. He's played by Josh Gad in the new live action movie. And there was a couple of tweets that were put out by Josh Gad and by the director that made it sound like this is going to be like a big deal for Disney to like pull out this openly gay character. But I got to be honest, I read a sort of breakdown of what happens to make him the gay character. And it just doesn't seem like a big deal to me. So this is from LifeSite News, which is actually really against the movie, but they break it down. So for approximately 4 seconds in a ballroom full of swirling male and female dancers, there are, who are changing partners, a young man whirls into the surprise LeFou's arms and they dance happily away together. He does appear to be the first character acknowledged as gay from the Disney movie, whether animated or live action. And then earlier scenes suggest that LeFou's sexual uncertainty, he dances mincingly around the tavern during a song with Gaston and gives his idol a shoulder rub while singing his praises to ensemble townspeople. And then at one point, he lands on Gaston's lap and wraps Gaston's arms around him and says, "Too much." And Gaston says, just nods. So that's apparently what we're dealing with here. I just don't see how that, like, I feel like my kids would see that and laugh and think it was funny. I don't know. I'm concerned that we are too eager to boycott things.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still getting excited about boycotting The Shack. And now you're asking me to boycott another movie? Like, come on, man. I can't be boycotting every movie.
You know, look, here's the deal. My fifth grader came home and was talking about Valentine's Day, very nonchalantly said that this one boy handed a Valentine to this other boy because they like each other and they have a crush on each other. I mean, this is the world that our kids are growing up in. And so this is just reality. Now, it's one of those things that the church is going to have to get used to talking about and dealing with and living in. And it's this whole surprise shock factor thing. I think, are we past this? Shouldn't we be past this? I mean, we should, the church needs to always continue to be the voice of truth and love. And yet we live in a world that is pluralistic. Our culture is pluralistic. Our culture is going to increasingly become more and more secular. This should not be surprising or shocking to us. I'm not saying that you have to embrace this movie. You do what you want to do. But at the same time, if your identity as a Christian or an evangelical is always just couched in what you are against rather than what you are for, I don't know. Maybe you got to rethink things. That's just a thought. Mm.
Hey, man, I think that's a good way to look at it. You know, the thing that just to start with some levity, because I feel like I have to continue to chuckle a little bit at this. One of my favorite tweets so far was this guy that was like, "So wait a second, we're concerned about LeFou being gay when there's a girl dating a buffalo in this movie." I thought that was pretty hilarious. But I'll be honest with you, I don't like when my kids watch Beauty and the Beast. Right? I have three little girls. I don't like when they watch the original movie, and it's not because there's any kind of overtly sexual thing in it. It's because I've always watched Beauty and the Beast and went, seriously? Like, this is a smart girl, right, who's gone. She's now with this guy who is clearly angry. He is, he's nasty to her in the beginning. And to me, like, I don't see it as, like, this great love story. I see it as, like, hey, girls, no matter how mean or nasty or awful this guy is, you can change him. And I just think that is, if you're not going to, as a dad to girls, I don't want that message to communicate it to my kids. That, like, hey, you can change any kind of awful guy who treats you poorly. That bothers me. All right. It doesn't bother me that LeFou may be gay. It bothers me more that this is a movie about an angry, violent beast and a girl who's going to change him, right? Like, that's just so weird to me.
Well, I think as I'm a mom of an 18-year-old, and we've went through this a lot. You don't go after boys who are damaged because you will never change them.
Yes.
You want a boy that will elevate you and raise you up. You don't need to be the one who raises them up. So I'm with you. Totally with you on that.
Oh, it gets me all fired up. And so I just think there's other reasons. If you want to boycott Beauty and the Beast, there are better reasons than LeFou being just a little bit gay. So I'm just throwing that out there. The other thing that I want to throw out there too, Christians, and this is, I mean, listen, I'm going out on a limb saying this because I know where you're coming from, right? So you have every right as Americans to boycott whatever you choose.
Yep.
Right? We have certain rights as Americans. But there is this sense in Christianity where, and maybe it's because, you know, the CNMA is very focused on lost people, but there's a sense, and I think Jesus does this, he lays down his titles, he lays down some of his rights, and he tries to enter in to the mess and the brokenness of the people that he came to save. And so I worry sometimes that we jump up on our pedestals and we say like, no, we can't do this. And we're going to go down with this. And we alienate folks who are now going to think that in order to be a Christian, you have to not go see Beauty and the Beast. And that's silly to me. So I hope that that's not the sentiment, and I want to support you in what you choose to do as far as like, oh, I'm not going to take my kid to this, or I'm not going to do this. So I support you in that. Choose wisely and prudently, but I hope that we always keep in mind what we are communicating to lost people, because my heart, and I believe Christ's heart, is for those who are lost. So just keep that in mind as we go into this stuff. I mean, this is just a small example of it, but anyway. All right, so I think this is a good place for us to jump into our main segment and hear a little bit about middle school ministry.
And now, coming to you from the classiest radio station on the air, this...
Charlie, we get the distinct pleasure of hearing you talk about middle school ministry. You talked about how you've been doing this for quite some time. What did I read like 20 years or something like that?
Oh, I know, right?
Wow.
It's hard for me to think I'm even that old.
Yeah.
You don't look like you've been doing ministry for 20 years.
No way.
Yay, that's the goal, right?
Ryan definitely looks like he's been doing it for like 45 years. Yeah.
Oh man. And Zach, you look like you still belong in youth group. Mr. 29-year-old.
I did it.
You did it. So Charlie, we want to pick your brain and pick your heart about the beauty, the awesomeness of middle school youth ministry. I am a dad of two middle schoolers, and so I am right in this. I've been youth pastoring for a while, so it's kind of nice to be on both sides of this coin. How did you get started in youth ministry?
I had taught deaf and hard of hearing middle schoolers. And when I moved to Georgia, I taught in the school systems here for 1 year and couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. The school systems just really regulate you on how you can love kids. And I want to love all kids. And so I was on this mission trip and thought, why am I not serving in a middle school ministry in a church? And so jumped right in. And have been loving and teaching middle schoolers in the ministry setting for the last 12 years.
Wow. I don't think people realize just how critical and important it is to grab the kids' hearts and minds at this age. I mean, this is big identity forming years right here. Why is it so important, Charlie? Why is what you do matter so much?
I've noticed with middle school ministry is that you need to reach them before you have to rescue them. And a lot of times a sixth grader can check out of church. And then you're in this rescue stage when they're 16, 17 years old. Why not capture them and keep them in the church when they're in sixth grade, when they're 12, 13, 14 years old, and really ingrain their lives and have them have a firm foundation built in the gospel? And so I'm really into the reaching before the rescue stage. I've seen it with a lot of students in our community. And I believe in that. I really believe in loving them. And if you want to see your church and your student ministries grow, have a killer middle school ministry. because it will grow your high school ministry and pour into the college ministry. It's amazing. Amazing.
That's awesome. You know, it's funny though, I know a lot of our listeners will either they're just doing middle school ministry, they're just doing high school ministry, or they're like Ryan and I, well, now just me, because Ryan got to split, right? But I do middle school and high school ministry at the same time. And one of the things that's really interesting to me is that so many of my volunteers, when they come up to me and I'm like, hey, listen, you are somebody that I think could be really effective in youth ministry, they will say something like this to me: I'm in as long as I don't have to work with middle schoolers.
Right.
So why is that? Why is it so crucial, but yet people don't want anything to do with it? It's weird.
I think middle school ministry has a bad rap. I think people think that middle school ministry is just hanging out and smelling Cheetos and dirty feet. But there's just so much more to it. When I interview my volunteers, and they can be leery about middle school ministry, and I always tell them, if this is not a life-giving ministry to you, if it does not change your life, come back and see me, and we'll reevaluate where you can serve. A solid middle school ministry is life-changing for volunteers as much as it is for the students. When it is grounded in Christ, it is amazing what can happen.
I see that in my own group. We have a leader who in the past would start with kids in sixth grade and not leave them as their small group leader until they graduate from high school. And he's still so connected with those kids. Even now, they're like 25, and it's amazing the impact that he's had, all because he poured into them when they were in middle school.
Yeah, that's the requirement for my leaders. You sign up for them in sixth grade, and it's a commitment. It's, you know, a 6-7 year commitment to be with these students until they graduate from high school. But I've been a small group.
So seriously, like, if I came into your ministry and I said, I want to serve, you're telling me you're in until these kids graduate.
Well, I have job descriptions for every piece of my ministry.
Sure.
And if you and I are having coffee and I feel like that you're not going to commit for that time, then we would find another position for you. But ideally, people don't want to leave those kids. They are invested in their lives and they don't want to leave them, and they want to be a part of their lives and see them till they graduate from high school. My small group kids are 23 years old. I'm having lunch with one of them today. They're graduating college. And I had these kids since they were in sixth grade. So it's exciting.
What? That is just such a
That's fantastic.
It just does sound scary when you say a 6-year commitment. But we got to kind of maybe change the verbiage on that a little bit, because folks don't want their kids to leave. My daughter has had an adult who's walked with her every year since she was in seventh grade. And there are tears when they think about, this is our last year's small group. And that's what it should be. And this other adult can speak to my daughter in ways that I can't. I mean, we all are parents. We all know that our kids can't hear us sometimes. And when there's another Christian adult in their life that invests in them, oh my gosh, they can say the same thing that we've been saying over and over, but they can finally hear it. As a mom of a daughter, it's been great to have another adult talk to her about boys and sex and dating and all those awesome things that you deal with. And, It's hard to grow up.
Yeah, the benefits of long haul ministry are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit about what we were talking, Zach, about this accepting amygdalas, right? When these middle schoolers come into this space and they see familiarity, and these are relationships that they can count on week after week, and there's consistency, that is huge, because trust is in those spaces. And you can get so much accomplished when you have kids who trust these adults. Yes. It was really cool, because Jocelyn was talking about how this past weekend, one of the moms has been a leader for the past couple years, and she's just doing a really great job. And she overheard some of these teenage girls say, oh, you can totally go talk to Tina Marie. She's so nice, and she, you know, she's really helpful. And Here, right? So here a 6th and 7th grader has already made great connections. These 6th and 7th grade girls have made great connections with this mom. And if that remains and if that can stay, I mean, just exactly what you're describing, I mean, that is some good spiritual formation culture right there.
Very cool. Well, tell us this story. Let's get a little, we'll zoom in a little bit and just give us, I'd love to know, what are some of the things, like if I was a junior hire and I came to your youth group for the first time, what am I going to experience there? What am I going to see as like a newcomer? What does it look like?
I hope that if you walk into my student ministry, the immediate feel that you have is I'm welcome. One of my biggest volunteer needs and one of the needs I feel are greeters. We just want adults to be there to give hugs and high fives and how are you? And that's one of the things that we teach our students, that we are always inclusive of everyone and anyone who walks in the door. We want to say, hey, how are you? And we don't want to be like this clique ministry. But that comes in the teaching that we teach the students. We really tell our kids we want them to live the life of Jesus, and Jesus never turned his back or put his elbows up and not let somebody around the table with them. He was like, hey, come on. And listen, middle schoolers, they love everyone. That's not something that they haven't been taught how to not accept other people. Middle schoolers are really great about, hey, jump right in.
That's so true. I see that with my kids as well. Sometimes I get done with junior high and I'm like, oh, that was so much fun. I'm going to go do the same thing, some of the same things with senior high. And they're like, no, you're the worst and we hate you. And I'm like, wait. Wait, the junior hires love this. Go home. Give me them back.
You know, middle schoolers, everyone thinks that they're just like this mean culture with middle school students. And I really don't see that to be true. I see students being very inclusive of other people, especially if you put a ball in a middle schooler's hand. Hey, everybody come join us. I mean, everybody can hang out and be a part of that. People talk about it being so tough, and I think that isn't happening in their lives yet.
Yeah.
High schoolers, different story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love them too.
I do.
I love them too. But, yeah. Well, what about, so you're in a church, is your church a little bit larger?
Okay. So here's the crazy thing. So I am in a Methodist church. I was there for 11 years, and we worship about 500 people on a Sunday morning. And our middle school ministry had grown to over 200 students.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was this really crazy phenomenon. And people from all over always ask, well, what's the secret sauce? Like, what are you doing? Well, we meet in a parking lot because we didn't have any space. There wasn't a lot of budget. Because you're talking about a church that only worships 500 people. And then you have a student ministry that's 200 kids. So there wasn't a ton of money. So I had a can of tennis balls, which, you know, is not a flashy thing. But every week we talked about Jesus and how the Bible was real and how you could live that out in your communities, on your ball fields, in the hallways, and in your homes. I had students who's never been to church before. They never experienced a worship service before. And that's my heart, are those students. And it was an invitational thing. It was, hey, guys, you should come check out my church. It's really cool. And so I'm not really sure what was so cool about it, except for that we were welcoming, right? And we had pizza or Chick-fil-A, you know, Christian chicken has a draw. You know, you feed middle schoolers and they will come, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you feed me and I'll get there.
Right?
We're coming down. We're coming.
I love it. Come.
What about connecting with like the overall vision in the church? Is there a thing that you guys did that like pushed the junior hires into see themselves as members of the body of Christ? Like,
I mean,
any of that kind of thing going on?
Can I be real for a second?
Yeah, please. This was cool.
Super hard for my church to be accepting at first.
Right.
Because we had kids that didn't look like everyone else in our congregation, and they're standing in circles. What are they doing? You know, like these really strange questions. And it took a minute, and it took teaching our adults. And that came from the pulpit. My senior pastor was phenomenal about teaching our adults to be welcoming and what it could be. And I have to be honest with you, I started asking the adults that would grumble the most to be a part of my ministry. And they saw what was happening. And y'all, it was crazy. So yes, the congregation began to accept them. It was interesting to have a student walk to church without his family on Sunday mornings because they wanted more. And a real win for us is when they begin to bring their parents. Yes. And the whole family starts coming to church. And then our church began to recognize us. And, you know, we would let our congregation members know, you know, so-and-so brought his parents. This is so great. But it took time. It wasn't easy. And I think it's hard when the people that's been sitting in the pews for X number of years, it's hard for them sometimes to be welcoming to those that don't look like them. But when they get a buy-in, that's why you ask them to serve. When they buy into that ministry, they tell all their friends, they tell all their circles, and then the church really becomes a welcoming place in the community. So it's good. It can be good, but you have to get to the good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you had an opportunity to sort of to say middle school ministries, stop doing this. What would be a couple things that you would
don't do this
right? Youth, junior high ministries, stop doing these things because this is getting in the way of healthy middle school ministries.
Lock-ins? No, I'm just kidding.
we don't do those either.
I hate lock-ins. Okay, that's a Me whole too. Different conversation. And you know, I didn't hate lock-ins until I had a kid in student ministry. And then she came home from a lock-in, and I was like, oh my gosh, who is this evil kid in my house? So anyway, that's a whole different podcast, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I would tell youth pastors to stop making play and games the center of their ministries. We don't have to have these gross, big games, these three-hour epic adventures to engage a middle school student. The gospel is engaging. Kids want to know about Christ and what he can do in their lives and how he can work through them. And listen, dodgeball is not the biggest thing happening. If you think that your youth ministry revolves around the game idea, the game concept, you're missing out. We all like to have fun in middle school ministry, but I really think the biggest thing in it should be Jesus. And I've seen that change. I mean, that's what changed our ministry, is when it became a Jesus-focused ministry, that's when the kids were beating down our doors. And we went from 8 kids to 30 to 75 to 100 to 200. It was about Jesus. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Y'all, that's not a magic formula, right? Like, hello? Right. It's super easy. But I think we don't give middle schoolers a credit. We don't think that they can go deep enough.
Yeah.
And we can take them there, and we do it. It's how you share it. First of all, the message and the gospel to them, and you can take them, and they are so excited about it. I don't know. I'm very passionate about, you know, the spiritual discipline of teaching the word and teaching them how to pray and how to read their Bible. Not new tricks, people, not new tricks. but it's effective.
Who knew?
I know.
Who knew?
Who knew? It's effective. So,
oh man, that is awesome.
Dude, you just brought some gold. That was awesome.
And every middle school pastor is super pissed off at me right now. And they're like, what do you mean we shouldn't be playing games for 2 hours?
Well, so wait a minute. So here's what I didn't hear you say don't play. Play is an important part of what it is to be a kid. Right. I mean, in kids, you know, one of the things that I think sets up great learning environments is expending energy and activity and playing together. And these are all part of what it is to learn social skills. I think Jocelyn does a great job in our middle school ministry. They kind of do 45 minutes of play, and she has like a half an hour, 45 minute service where the kids are praying and they're talking about the Bible and they're in small groups and discussing stuff. I think it's great that a middle school kid can rush in and expel some good energy. But then, yeah, I love that. Make Jesus the center of your ministry. That's duh. It's awesome. Duh. I got to smell my gingerbread house candle again.
Oh, that's good. Looking all right, nice.
Keep going. Sorry.
So what about, I mean, you've been doing ministry with middle schoolers for 20 years. What about 2017? like, is it more difficult now? You know, I think about things like technology. I think about things like what are our middle schoolers are exposed to at different ages? Like, what is it that has changed? And what are some of the unique challenges that you see today?
I'm going to tell y'all a story.
Please.
Yes.
I love stories.
In my community, I'm very connected with the schools. There are three middle schools in our community, and I'm very connected with them, the teaching staff and the counselors. And I last year had a counselor call me and ask me if I was teaching about anal sex. I paused and I thought, well, you know, we talk about boundaries. I don't know that I've talked about anal sex in particular, and it was an issue in the middle school.
Whoa.
Okay. I never talked about anal sex particularly with my own kid. So, I just didn't know that it was going to have to go there. So you all may want to edit that out, but,
no, we're not editing that out. Keep going.
But really though, middle schoolers have changed. And yep. We can't be as scared to address big issues with them. And I tell you, they're all in different places, though. There could be an eighth grader that is dabbling in sex. But there could be an eighth grader that's, you know, parents have kept them in and they don't know anything about that.
Right.
But I think that's equally scary. If they don't have the knowledge, that can be equally scary as kids who have the knowledge. I believe in teaching our kids. If we don't teach our kids, Google will. And if Google's teaching our kids, they begin to have those images in their head. And I don't know. I mean, it's all on the internet, right, guys? I don't need my kids seeing all that. But so the things that we're talking about changes because the culture is changing and we have to address big topic issues. We can't be scared to not talk about them.
Well, I think Fight the New Drug just came out with a statistic that said that 1 in 10 12-year-olds are addicted to porn. Now, that's addiction to porn. That's not viewing porn. Viewing porn, the percentage is much higher. But about 1 in 10 kids by the time they're 12 are addicted to porn. I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, well, kids are getting introduced to it now at about 8, 9, 10 years old because smartphones and that kind of technology is being put into their hands much sooner.
Well, see, that's the problem.
Oh, we got to do a whole podcast about.
Oh, we need to. We totally need to.
Stuff, dude. I'm getting all fired up now.
But the thing is, if we aren't teaching them, and listen, we're Plan B, right? So we need to be teaching our parents to have these conversations.
Yeah.
But we as the church, we need to be addressing things and addressing sex and sexual purity with these kids because the internet will teach them. And I think things like pornography become an addiction because they see those things on there and then they can't get that image out of their head, right? It's tough. It's tough. And I think we have to do it well. It can't be something like we roll up on a Sunday night and be like, hey, we're going to talk about sex tonight. No, I mean, this has to be thought out. It has to be communicated with the parents and it has to be done well. But it does need to be done.
Yeah. I know that from a parent's perspective, that I would want to know which night or nights those things would be addressed. Yep. Because I think that there will be parents who would opt maybe out of that and just say, you know what, my sixth grader is just, we don't feel that we're ready for that.
Yeah.
And I'll just say it, some homeschool families, you know, we're just not ready for that conversation or whatever. And that's okay. So I think you give parents the heads up. Some parents are like, please, like way overdue, please address this with the kids.
Please, I didn't want to talk about it. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I also think having that talk maybe videotaped. So there's no room for a mistaken word or anything that maybe then even our parents could preview it. Say, hey, this is what we're going to talk about with our students. And so I think there's no harm in videotaping that talk ahead of time. But y'all, 10 years ago, I would never have imagined having that conversation with a school counselor and thinking that was a need in our community.
Wow.
And our churches.
Wow.
I really, 10 years ago, I don't know. It's so hard. None of that was in the forefront, I think, of middle school ministry.
No. Yeah, not at all. Wow.
Well, the porn is driving that. And it just is, because that's where these kids are seeing that. That's where they're being exposed to all different kinds of topics surrounding or things surrounding sexuality. So it's rough.
It's easily accessible too.
It is easily accessible. Yep.
It's the same. I mean, the same crap that I, you know, you heard on the bus as a kid. I mean, I remember hearing some terrible things on the bus, but we didn't have a lot of access to it. Like, we couldn't just go like Google image search that stuff. You know what I mean? So it is, it's a different, the ability to just pull out a phone and go, boom, like, let me just look that up.
And I think another thing with middle schoolers is that they're busy. I think 10 years ago, middle schoolers were not as busy as they are now. Moms have color coordinated calendars to keep up with these schedules because it's lacrosse and theater. And so why should we make room in our calendar for church? And I think what we do has to be done with excellence so that it is a priority in our families and in our students' lives. And listen, I live in a huge football community. Welcome to the South, right? It's all about football here. But I tell you, I have boys, they come in their uniforms and they stay for the message and then they dip out and go to the field. And that's one of the things that we tell them, like, take Jesus with you to the field. And so I have these great boys that are leading devotions on their field, leading prayers, because it's become a priority in their life. And it's because that what we're doing is a ministry with excellence. We're planned and we're prepared and we're ready for them. And so it's so important that our students know that Jesus doesn't happen in the walls of our church, that Jesus happens on the football field, the lacrosse field, you know, in the theater, drama departments. I mean, our kids are busy. So we want them to understand that the church is a priority for them.
Charlie, what does a middle school volunteer look like? What is an ideal middle school volunteer?
The ideal volunteer for my middle school ministry, and I think for any middle school ministry, should be someone with experience. It's not a 23-year-old. It's a 53-year-old, a 63-year-old, because they know what it's like to raise kids, to love kids well. My ideal volunteer is a grandparent, because they've had children and grandbabies, and they are excellent at loving middle schoolers. And y'all, they are in circles that we aren't. And when they can share about how awesome your ministry is to other people of the church, there's a real buy-in then to your ministry. Mm. Nobody loves you well more than a grandma or grandpa. My best,
and they do it with grace. Okay. They have way more grace than parents.
Yes. And listen, they have the time. They will show up at the football field. They will take a student out for coffee because they have time. I don't understand the mentality that it all has to be a 23-year-old, because a 23-year-old, a 24-year-old, they're busy. 30-year-olds are raising families. Why are we not targeting the grandparents of our congregation who know how to love well and can be there?
Yeah.
My best volunteer was a retired vet. He was 72 years old, and every kid in the community knew him because he had served in my ministry for over 10 years. And when he wasn't serving in my ministry, he was a substitute in the local schools. And so kids from all over knew him. And when you walked in the door at my church, Mr. Weeks would stand there. He would hug you and high five you. And he loved Jesus. And he shared that with everyone that would listen to him. And he passed away 2 years ago. And when we were preparing for his funeral, we were telling his children, hey, can we do this in the gym? And they're like, the gym? And I was like, yeah, can we have his funeral in the gym? And they're like, okay. I'm like, well, I think a lot of kids would come. And his own children didn't understand the impact that he had on our community and our church. We filled an entire gymnasium full of students that this man had loved. And so you talk about the impact that a small group leader can make in the life of the student and a volunteer can make in the life of the student. I believe it is the 60-year-old, the retired teacher, the retired principal, or that grandpa who has nothing else to do. He will be great at loving your students.
Yes. That is so good.
Amen.
I'm so glad you said that.
It's true though. I coach. I don't know if y'all know this. I coach for the youth cartel. And so many.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So I coach for an organization called the Youth Cartel. And I help other youth pastors be awesome and reach their goals and the most potential that they have in their ministry. And one of the things that I encourage them is to change their idea of what a target volunteer is, and go for the circle of joy in your church or whatever that meeting is, and hit up the men's club. Ask those men to take the knowledge that they have from raising their own kids and turn around and invest it in a small group of sixth grade boys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is good. Charlie, you have brought some awesomeness today. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
Yeah, hey, check out my website at charlieconder.com. You can email me at charlie@charlieconder.com, on Twitter at Charlie Conder. Doesn't get any easier than that, right?
Very easy. I like it. We'll link all of those in the show notes. I'm loving it. You write any books? Do you write books?
Oh, I'm not a good writer.
I hate writing too. I really do. I like talking, Charlie. I like to talk.
Me too. I'm a brainstormer. That's what I like to do.
Oh, that's cool. That is really cool.
Fantastic.
Y'all, thanks so much for having me. I've been really excited to share about middle school ministry and my passion and the calling that God has put on my heart for them. So,
yeah. Well, listen, this doesn't have to be the last time you come on. We can, we'll schedule out again and maybe get you on. We'll talk about some more specific stuff. I like to be able to talk a little bit about the bigger ideas of middle school ministry, because I feel like middle school pastors and directors and volunteers, they need to be encouraged.
Right. Like, yes,
you're doing good work, and you need to keep going. You need to keep pushing. So I think this was a crucial episode. And you know what's cool? 20 episodes, apparently, and we heard this from one of our friends over at the After Nine Ministry podcast. Once you hit 20 episodes, you're like a legit podcast. You're in the 3% of podcasts.
Awesome.
So you get to usher us. You have ushered us into legitimate podcasting.
I love that. Yes. I love to be legitimate. That's awesome.
Yes. So we are now completely legit. We got 20 episodes, and you have taken us to that new level. So thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, y'all. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So, Ryan, we'll just wrap it up.
All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter at Not a Real Pastor. You can check out our website at notarealpastor.com. You could also find us on Facebook, Not a Real Pastor, and our emails, Zach@notarealpastor.com and Ryan@notarealpastor.com. That is how you get a hold of us. Again, we love when you reach out to us. We love when you interact and respond to our content, and we love it when you give us some feedback. So please do.
Yeah, and I think I should definitely mention this here as well, that we now have two very big partners that we're excited about. We are the official podcast of Alliance Youth, which is the youth ministry arm of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And we also have just joined up with the After Nine Youth Ministry show and the youthministrybooster.com. And we are kind of forming a youth ministry podcast network, which is pretty sweet. I think it's just two of us now, maybe three, but I hope that grows, because youth ministry podcasting is really fun, and there's some really cool people that do it. And so it's been interesting to get to know those guys and to be a part of something a little bit bigger than ourselves. This has grown our podcast has grown way more than we expected. So, right, Ryan, did we think that we would be here? I don't know.
I have no idea. Where am I?
So if you write a review for us, we read it on the air, on the show. So I'm looking for, okay, here we go. I got the review. Boom. So this is from David J. Hardy, and he calls us the Big League. I don't know if that was a fat joke, though, Ryan. I think he might be talking about our weight.
Hey, I resemble that comment.
I resemble it. Let's do it. All right. So David is actually, I think David is a designer, and he makes t-shirts for the Alliance as well, if I remember correctly. So anyway, David says this: after listening to all of the episodes, whoa, that was some commitment, 20 episodes, well, he listened to 19. I can truly say this podcast is relevant, informative, and challenging. The problem is, it's just too good.
What?
So good, in fact, that I'm sure that Zach and Ryan will soon get the call to the big leagues. Who? I love this. Who will provide youth pastors with such a great product when Zach and Ryan trade in the skinny jeans of youth ministry for the khaki pants of senior / real pastor ministry. Yes! The end is just around the corner, listeners.
There is no such thing as a skinny jean in my world. I will tell you that right now.
Oh, man. But he says, P.S., perhaps Zach will become, plot twist, his own senior pastor. No, David, we interviewed a guy, and it's looking very promising, okay? I'm going to get a senior pastor. It's going to be wonderful. So thank you for that 5-star review and for the listening to all the episodes, for the laughs, for all that. That's it, man. That's our show. Are we excited?
Y'all, woo! Southern people say naked.
Southern people say naked instead of naked.
Y'all
have a good day now.
Y'all, Christian chicken. Y'all, naked. Y'all are naked when you eat Christian chicken. Christian chicken, naked, y'all.
Well, that's today's show. Join us again next week. Let's hope it's better.